to the Anime and Chill podcast.
Hello and welcome to Anime and Chill. And today we're going to be talking about Haikyuu, and I'm going to be giving you my first impressions on it, as well as Soul Eater. But before we get into that, I do want to talk about some anime news that has happened in the past week or so. So we now have the official Demon Slayer release date for the new Mugen Train movie, which is going to be October 16th, 2020. And bruh, you know I'm hyped. Like, I loved Demon Slayer. I loved the first season, and it was just amazing animation, amazing music, amazing all around, to be honest. And I can't wait to see what Studio Ufotable has in store for us with this movie. Especially, like, I don't know if the animation and just art in general was going to be any better, but it is a movie. So there's a possibility that they could even ramp up production on the movie for the animation even better than it was in the season, which is going to be tough because the animation and art in Demon Slayer Season 1 was phenomenal and was clearly the best animation of the year. It was just insanely just beautiful, like every single scene, especially in like the first episode whenever they're just in that snow biome, and it's just like crazy how good that really looks, not to mention the character designs for all the demons and just all the animation in general. Episode, what was it, like 14 13? That was like the craziest episode ever because of that stellar animation by Studio Ufotable. And man, I just cannot wait to see this movie, and we're going to get it October 16th, 2020. You know I'm watching that hoe. All right, the next story we got is something kind of funny. I don't know if this will actually happen, but it is an actual thing. So we have the One Punch Man Hollywood. Hollywood, not Japanese, bruh. This is America that's doing this, thankfully. Not to say that Japanese people can't make good movies. I mean, we clearly love the films and just shows in general that they make in anime. But I mean, let's be honest, in terms of live action stuff, they're not the strongest things. Like, has anyone ever seen the Fullmetal Alchemist live action movie? Yikes, bruh. Just yikes. And yeah, bruh, we know the Death Note movie was really bad. Like, it wasn't a good movie, but we can at least admit it was very good production-wise, and that's what the Western audience has. That's what us as Americans have. We have that production. We have those. We're just better at filmmaking, like live-action filmmaking, than Japanese, in my opinion, to be honest with you. But yeah, this is insane. A One Punch Man Hollywood live-action adaptation produced by Aaron Productions for Sony Pictures. Sony Pictures, man, with a script by Venom's Scott Rosenberg and Jeff Pinkner. So these are the guys that did Venom, and if you don't know what Venom is, it's basically like, it's a, like a Marvel thing. Venom is a character in the Spider-Man universe, and he had a movie that came out, I think, in 2018, 2019, can't remember. And the person who wrote the script for that movie is going to be doing this. And I saw Venom, and I mean, it wasn't that great of a movie, but I mean, look, man, if we can get a live-action anime adaptation, bro, in America, like done by Americans, like done right with the production, which it's Sony Pictures. This is a production studio with Sony Pictures partnered. So I mean, they can do this. Live action One Punch Man would be insane. And if this thing actually gets made, which who knows if it does, who knows if they actually, you know, get this script going good and make the revisions that are needed, the budget, the casting, I don't know how that's all gonna work out. But the fact that this exists and the actual creator of One Punch Man actually acknowledged this on Twitter, I'm just excited, bro. Like, this could be insane. This could be crazy. All it needs to be is an okay movie. It doesn't have to be the greatest movie ever. In terms of a film, it could just be all right. But as long as it does decent in the box office, as long as there's people that are willing to watch this thing, which, I mean, come on, everyone loves One Punch Man. People will definitely watch this movie, and I'm sure a lot of people don't even know that this is a thing. A live-action One Punch Man, it was actually greenlit. And look, man, it's going to be a long time till this thing even comes out or even see any trailers about this thing. But the fact that the One Punch Man creator acknowledged this on Twitter, this is a real thing. I just hope we actually do get a live action One Punch Man that is done right, that is done good with a budget and production, and just, it would be insane, man. So I'm really looking forward to that. If anything actually comes of it, hopefully it does. But moving on into the news, another thing I wanted to talk about was all of the delays that are happening. One Piece is delayed. The Promised Neverland Season 2 is delayed into 2021, and it was going to come out in 2020, October, around there, but it has been pushed back to 2021. As well as Boruto has been delayed, and many more anime delayed. Many more have been delayed because of course, the pandemic going around. And of course, we need to prioritize people's health over anime. Like, I mean, that's clearly a thing, but it does, you know, as people, we like to see these shows, we like to watch them, whatever. It is unfortunate that this is affecting the anime universe, this is affecting all these people's lives, and it's affecting their jobs, and it's affecting what they love to do, and it's affecting what we love to watch. So it's unfortunate all around, but hey man, this is the silver lining in it all. Hopefully this will end eventually, and all the anime studios can get their production back up and running, get these episodes out every week for everyone to enjoy. But look man, here's the one silver lining. At least there's an abundance, man, just an abundance of older anime to watch. Like, if someone's watching these shows week by week, cool, that's good for you, and that does suck that, you know, you're not going to be able to watch the show you enjoyed week by week now. But at least there's so many old anime on Netflix, Crunchyroll, all these other websites as well you can literally watch for free. You can just go on there and watch all the old anime and then come back to the anime you were watching whenever the shows start coming out again. So as I said, it sucks that all of these animes are being delayed, but at least, hey, there's still an abundance of anime to watch, you feel me? And moving on, Cells at Work, Code Black is going to premiere January 2021. And look, man, I really enjoyed Cells at Work. I didn't think it was an amazing series or anything, but for what it is, like, it literally is teaching you all of the different cells in your body. It's crazy what that show did, and it's entertaining. It genuinely is entertaining. It's lighthearted, but yet you still are learning and you're still being entertained. And it really did remind me of One Punch Man. All of these different diseases, just like the way they looked, they were like monsters popping up in One Punch Man, and they just had cool designs, and it was just a cool series in general for what it did. And Cells at Work, Code Black is some sort of spin-off from the original show, and I think it has a much darker tone, which is going to be crazy as hell to watch unfold if it's Cells at Work with like a way darker tone, because Cells at Work was very lighthearted, very fun, upbeat, and yeah, there was monsters, there were diseases, cancer cells, like all these different things they would fight. But I mean, at the same time, it wasn't like a dark series. So if this series has hella slaying, hella action, like just super dark turn on the Cells at Work universe, that'd be really cool. And plus, you would be learning about all the cells in your body still, which I don't know if it is going to be a dark take on that universe. It's just that from the cover art and from the name itself, it really did give off that vibe. But either way, I'm still going to be looking forward to it, and it is coming in early 2021. Tell me what you guys think about those stories, and just what you think about me talking about some news in the anime community as well. I thought it'd be pretty cool to tell you guys and keep you informed about some news that's happening, and also give you my take on it as well.
Sponsor time! Now back to the show!
But with all of that out of the way, let's get to Soul Eater in Haikyuu First Impressions.
Anime and Chill!
Alright, so I'm about 10 to 12 episodes in for each series, so I'm not crazy in a whole bunch, but I am in a decent amount for each series. And we're clearly not going to be doing a crazy deep dive or anything like that. I've only seen like 10 episodes for each series, but I am going to give you my general thoughts on the characters, the story, where I think it's going to go, what I think of it, what I think of the production, and stuff like that. So I guess we can start off with Haikyuu. And man, Haikyuu is a volleyball anime. Yeah, it's an extremely popular show at that. Of course, you know, I probably wouldn't be watching a volleyball anime if I hadn't heard any good things about it. But man, Haikyuu is a delight. It really is. And it's a surprise, man, because if you just jump into the show, it really is entertaining. That's the thing. It's not one of those shows that you're like, God, I need the next episode. But it's like when you do come back and when you do watch it, it's like, I'm liking where it's going. Like, I'm liking this. I'm liking this character who is this little kid that's, I mean, he's not a little kid. He's in high school. I think he's a first year, so freshman. And he's just short and he's crazy good at volleyball. He has a hella potential and he's tiny, but he's got hops, bro. My man has hella hops. And just how entertaining the games are, like the volleyball matches, they're hella entertaining, man. Like, you can tell this is a shonen show for sure, because they really amp those things up. They make it so, like, as if the stakes are so high, and whenever Hinata just moves like lightning fast and it spikes a ball and just scores a point, like all of this different stuff, they just make those match is so entertaining, and that's another reason why, clearly, the show is so popular. Not to mention the likable characters, coupled with that entertaining slash action-y aspect. And it's funny, because it's like, that's literally the action in the show, is the matches. And they do such a great job of, like, making it seem like it's so much more cooler than it is. I mean, it's just a volleyball match, my guy, but they really do make it seem like it's some type of Naruto fight or like Dragon Ball fight going on. And it's a delight, man. Haikyuu really is a delight. I mean, as a story though, I mean, I'm liking it for sure. I like Hinata. I think he's cool. He wants to be like the next big dude or something like that. He wants to basically be the ace who is the go-to for spikes, like scoring the ball in volleyball. And I mean, that's cool. That's cool. But I mean, at the same time, it's nothing new. It's nothing different. You know, we've seen stuff like this. He has a goal he wants to accomplish. He's the underdog in so many ways in his physical attributes, and he's gonna try and strive to do that. And he has hella talent. And yeah, that's pretty much how most shonens go. Though with Haikyuu, I do like the art. I like the characters. I think they're likable. I really like the matches, like the volleyball games, as I said. They're very entertaining. The show does a great job with just making it awesome. Like literally making a volleyball match just seem so much cooler than it is, bro. So yeah, those are like my general thoughts on Haikyuu. I'm enjoying it. I don't think the story's not that engaging. It's not that different. It's not anything, you know, crazy like that. But it is something different from me. Like I think it's the first sports anime I've watched. Yeah, I think it's first sports anime I've watched. So that's at least something different for me, because I've never really seen any sports anime. And also, Haikyuu is just a great show just to come back to, you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing that you need to just binge and binge and binge and binge. It's not like that. For me, Haikyuu is just a show you put on and you enjoy it. It's got a lot of good elements. Not like a comedy where you just throw it on and it's just like, whatever, you get some cheap laughs. No, Haikyuu is more of a, it's more of an all-around experience. You got some comedy, you got some story elements, some underdogness for Shoto. Or what's his name? Hinata? I think his name's Hinata Shoto or something like that. Shota. Something. I forget his first name. But his name is definitely Hinata. So yeah, if you haven't seen Haikyuu, I recommend it from the first 10 episodes. I'm enjoying it. Definitely gonna watch more. I don't know how many episodes the series has. I know they're in the fourth season right now, so I am guessing a lot of episodes. But still, if you want to watch it, it's on Netflix, and I'm sure a lot of other websites. And I don't know if it's on Hulu. It might be, but it's definitely on Netflix if you want to watch it. All right, moving on to Soul Eater. And Soul Eater is a show that, honestly, it's just a shonen show, man. Soul Eater is so shonen, like, to be honest with you. You got this gang of quirky characters, although you do have an insane amount of action, and that's honestly another reason I'm really liking Soul Eater. Now, it's kind of hard to explain what this show really is and what it's about, but it basically, everyone has souls, and you have these weapons and people that wield the weapons, and the weapons can eat people's souls, and the weapons are also people, but yet they just can morph into weapons whenever they want and can be used with a Meister, and the Meister is the person that uses the weapon. So that's pretty much it summed up very, very quickly, as you can tell. But the strongest aspect for Soul Eater, I think, is that action. They do have some great, great action, man. I'm not saying it's amazing or, you know, 9 or 10 out of 10 action, but man, if you like shonen, you're gonna enjoy it for that action, as well as the comedy and lightheartedness. It has a lot of comedy, bro. The comedy's good. I'm gonna be honest, the comedy's actually pretty good. It's pretty funny at times. You got action, it's lighthearted, you got some cool characters, you know what I mean? It like fits that shonen bug that you need sometimes, like that Naruto type bug, maybe a Dragon Ball bug, you know, something like that. And it fits that. And another thing the show did extremely well is just the animation and art. Like, I'm not saying it's amazing or anything, but it's in that time period of, I think this show came out in 2009, somewhere around there, 2010, something like that. And it was in that era of just like, this show will age fantastically. Like, the animation is what I'm saying, like the art and stuff. It will age fantastically. Because like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, Hunter x Hunter 2011, those shows aged so well. Like, the animation and art on them, it's just done so cleanly. So such clean art and animation that it's just, it kind of will always look decent. You know what I'm saying? Even in 2020, I'm looking at this Soul Eater show, and I'm like, hey, that looks pretty good. You know what I'm saying? So you couple that with this shonen-like action that's pretty entertaining. They usually have it about every episode, some action. And that's what I really like about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're gonna get that action. And sometimes shows do that. Like, let's talk about Black Clover for a second. The show, it's all right. They do try in these overarching big schemes and plots, but I mean, what you're really watching the show for is action. You know what I mean? You're not watching Black Clover for the insane plot or anything, because it's kind of like a Naruto ripoff. But something I really enjoy Black Clover for is that action. You know, they have that action all the time, and it's fun to watch. Now, the art and animation on Black Clover, I'm gonna be honest, bro, it's like, that crap's bad, bro. I'm gonna be honest, it's like so average. Like, the fact that I think Soul Eater may be better, the fact that I may even think that Soul Eater may have better art and animation, that's kind of weird, bro. But this isn't a Black Clover discussion. I don't mean to bag on the show. I enjoy watching Black Clover. I think I'm on episode 100 or 120. I can't even remember. It's like in the hundreds. And I did hear Black Clover gets insane. It really does. So I definitely need to catch up where it is right now. And since the anime has been delayed, of course, I definitely have a chance to do that. But if you are interested in watching Soul Eater, I definitely think it's a good show. It's only 51 episodes. And look, man, I'm only like 10 or 11 episodes in, but I can tell it's a show, you know, I wouldn't mind finishing. Since it is 51 episodes, I don't have to watch 150 or something crazy like that. It's a good 50 episodes. You got some action, you got some funny elements, lightheartedness, with some plot in a crazy universe. I'm down to watch that, you feel me? And as far as problems with the show, I mean, I don't have many. I definitely don't think the show's like amazing or anything. Like, no, it's pretty average, just in terms of like, oh, that shonen universe or the shonen battles, or like, you know what I mean? It's pretty average in the shonen department, and that's probably the biggest detriment to the show. Like, the plot and stuff isn't all that intriguing. The abilities and whatever just isn't that intriguing, but it's good enough to scratch that itch, you know what I mean, that you have, and I'm enjoying the show, so what else can I say? So moving on, I want to talk about this week's episode of Tower of God. So episode 5 of Tower of God, man, and we're not going to do a crazy deep dive on it. We're not going to do any of that, but we are going to talk about it, so let's do that. So this was the episode, man. Like, this is when all the smoke went down. We're going to be talking about that ending moment, bro. We're going to be talking about just the insane moment that happened. The moment where Bam was on the throne, he sees Rachel, she's about to get absolutely smacked, and he tries to protect her, and I mean, he clearly does. And my man Bam, bro, let's be honest, that man, who knows, I don't know anything, bro. Like, I'm tempted to read the webtoon, to be honest with you, because it's just so frustrating. I don't know anything about this universe, hardly. I don't know anything about, like, let's be honest here, my man Bam just erupted. He literally turned into a giant wave, like a golden wave of Shinzo, which is like one of the most powerful things in this universe, I'm guessing, from what I've seen in the show. And it's like, what? Like, what is this dude? Like, what's happening right now? How did he just do that? How is this happening? Who is this kid? Who is Rachel? Who is she running with? I'm guessing Rachel is traveling with a princess, and that's why she's so strong, and she has this huge guard as well. But the crown game did not end how I thought it would end, to be honest with you. Like, it really didn't, and I was kind of upset with that. I was kind of frustrated with the fact that my man Bam just simps out, and he's like, oh, Rachel, and he just jumps off the throne. It was kind of, that was a little bit annoying. I'm just like, okay. And also, like, why is Rachel with these people? I thought she could defend herself, and she was just looking like an idiot, you know, against this one person. And this one person was insanely strong, but one, who was that person? Like, it was just some random dude or random girl who was just insanely strong with this pole. And Rachel was with this group that literally slayed 197 other applicants in the previous challenge that we saw in the first episode of Tower of God. So, I mean, you would think Rachel would be kind of nice with it, but no, she was just terrible. And Bam just jumps in front of her like a little simp, and he's like, oh, no, Rachel. But it was cool to see him just like erupt into Shinzo and like golden Shinzo, which was crazy. Like, I don't even understand that. Like, that's the thing, this universe of Tower of God, it's a little confusing. Like, I don't know what the heck's going on, but it definitely is an entertaining show. Like, 100%. This show is so entertaining. Like, the pacing on these episodes just fly by. They just fly by, and that's when you know you got a good show, bro. And with this episode, I definitely thought it would play out a different way. I thought, like, Rachel's group would end up winning, or maybe Bam would win, because, I mean, Bam literally just lost his weapon. He literally just lost his weapon, the Black March. So, I mean, what the heck? He lost it to the Lizard Girl because he didn't win the crown game. So I don't like how that played out. I don't like how Bam literally just did nothing, and he just, like, he was sitting on the throne, so I get it, he can't really do that much. But, I mean, it would have been cool to see him use the Black March or something. That's the thing. Another thing with the show, it, like, it shows you a good amount of action, but never quite enough that you, like, that you want to see. It's just like, it's just a decent amount where you're like, okay, but you, sometimes you just want to see Bam do something cool. You want to see Kun do something cool, and they do stuff cool, but sometimes it's just not enough. So yeah, I guess that's my thoughts on episode 5 of Tower of God. It's just so confusing, man. The whole universe, I don't know where the story's going, but that's also what makes it a great show. I don't know where this crap's going. I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, Kun is from some type of kingdom. He literally got exiled from the kingdom when there was princesses. Like, what is happening in Tower of God? What is Tower of God? It's so strange to me, to be honest with you. Just a whole different universe, to be honest. But that also is what makes me so excited for the next episode. And what, because I know the episodes are good. Like, all these episodes have been flying by. They're entertaining. They don't make you bored. The action's good. Like, there's really nothing to complain about with Tower of God. Except maybe the universe. Like, I get it. There's so many aspects to the universe in this world, and they do a lot of world building as well. But sometimes it's a bit overwhelming and a bit just strange, like the irregulars and the regulars. And who's that dude with the staff that looks like a Pokemon? Who is that? And just what is happening? You know what I'm saying? Why is Kun from a kingdom with princesses and kings and whatever he got exiled from? And who is Rack? Why is he over here calling these dudes turtles? And just, it's a bit confusing as well. So yeah, that's my thoughts on episode 5 of Tower of God. I am looking forward to the next episode to see where the story goes even on from here, and just, it's just strange, man. Just so strange. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Tell me what you think about the news section and what type of topics I should cover, I guess. Because I am going to try and do that every episode. We'll see what happens. I don't know. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. If you could, it would help me out so much if you could rate the show on Apple, iTunes, and just, you can just put in the little stars. You don't have to write a full-on review. But if you could do that for me, it would mean the world to me. And yeah, thank you so much for chilling with me. I love you, and I'm out.